some duck football, some hoops. Who better than the fine sports journalist for the Register Guard who covers both beats? You can find his work in the sports section, ducksports.com. On Twitter, use @by_RyanThorburn. Mr. Thorburn, haven't spoken in exactly 3 weeks. How are things with you and your family?
Things are going well, Steve. I have a couple kids Zooming their classwork. I have my wife teaching a class via Zoom, so I'm kind of like the out-of-shape gym teacher at this school, just looking for something to do, and looks like we're going to have some stuff to do coming up, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to. You've covered a lot, and beyond all the articles you've written on the games you've witnessed with Oregon football still in the future, obviously we've got women's hoops is supposed to start. Just the fan in you right now, I mean, how big are you on either the NBA playoffs or MLB playoffs? I mean, like you said, you might be looking for something to do. Is that taking up a chunk of your time?
It's really helped. It really has. I really thought the NHL bubble and the NBA bubble were fantastic. I thought, just the energy those teams had and the play, I thought it was great. I don't know if that's that they were missing it or just, not traveling, not being on an airplane and checking into hotels every night at 4 a.m. I thought it was quality. And now, after watching the SEC come back and some wild stuff on Saturday, kind of excited about college football as well. And then, I think the NFL is a good story. They've, had a couple positives this week, but when you consider how many people are involved on an NFL football team, they've done well. That's encouraging that they've had, 3 weeks of football season. So I'm hoping the Pac-12 patience pays off with the daily testing and we can get these 7 games, and it'd be a fun ride.
So you're saying that there may be some hope? Okay. Anyway, I saw something you tweeted over the weekend, and you not only covered Wyoming football, wrote a book about it, and of course in 2017 you traveled back to Memorial Stadium to see Ducks Cowboys, and of course the quarterback in that game was the current Buffalo Bills starter, Josh Allen. So what do you make of his first couple years, and now the established guy, a 3-0 team for a program that's always been really near and dear to you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because if you remember that 2017 game, Josh Allen had flashed these incredible physical attributes and Wyoming had a really good season in 2016. But in 2017, he lost a bunch of really good players that he had around him, and that was not a good Wyoming team. And Oregon just manhandled Josh Allen, and Herbert was actually looked to be the better quarterback that day. So it's kind of interesting now that they're both kind of similar, in their build and their, just the greatness that is there physically and the potential that's there. But it's good to see Allen, actually develop as a quarterback. I think a lot of draft gurus said that he had no chance with his accuracy problems at Wyoming, but he's gotten better every year and he's fun to watch. And I think that'll be interesting to see if Justin can make those same strides. I think he's off to a really good start, too. But it is kind of funny that those two played that day, and Josh Allen looked so bad. And if you recall that Oregon team, they kind of peaked early in the season before they had some injuries and stuff,
yep.
And then they lost to Arizona State that next week. So when my Buffalo Bills friend at the office, Ashley Conklin, when they drafted Josh Allen, he screamed, "No!" He wanted any of the other 4 guys, Lamar, Darnold, Baker, even Rosen. He wanted anyone but Josh Allen, and they took Josh Allen, and now obviously he probably wouldn't trade Josh for any of those guys.
We take it all back. since we chatted, the WNBA season has ended for 2 former Ducks, Ruthie Hebert, Satu Sabali. In particular, Ruthie, who went from like playing 8-10 minutes a game, and yeah, there were some injuries, but by the end for the Sky, she had a double-double. She had a double-double with 20 points. People just raving about her efficiency. I mean, you got to be pleased with her first season as a pro.
Absolutely. You know, she played well. You know, we've talked about this before. She was on a lot better team than Sabrina and Satu. So it's just not automatically that you're the star player and everyone, she knew the ball. So she had to earn it. You know, there was an injury or two. She got thrown into the starting lineup and looked like an upgrade, actually. So she has a bright future. It's kind of a mixed bag for Oregon women's basketball fans with Sabrina getting hurt. I know the New York Liberty ratings would have been through the roof in this part of the country if that didn't happen. So that was tough on the league and tough on Oregon fans. But, you know, the WNBA, those three, I think, are going to be in it for a long time. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that grows out here. It'd be nice if Portland had a team.
Yeah.
Someday, given what's going on at Oregon. But, you know, Kelly Graves has said those won't be the last three. He's got some pretty good players this year as well.
No question. We continue. Ryan Thorburn, registered guard. And, of course, Satu, I know we've talked about her. I think a lot of us were of the opinion by the end of last year she might actually be the most WNBA-ready of the three. And I think you wrote originally, I mean, what she did numbers-wise as a rookie, you're talking like Lisa Leslie, Tamika Catchings, Candace Parker. But beyond that, also her willingness as such a young player to address the critical issues. So would I be accurate to say, yeah, she was really impressive, but it wasn't really surprising to those of us who got to know her?
No, not really. I think, you know, the only question we had is whether she would come back for senior year or not. I mean, I think we all knew that she was just as talented as anyone in the draft, but, you know, her sister's here. I'm sure that was a hard decision. Looks like she made the right decision because, like you mentioned, not only, you know, showing off all the different skills, the versatility, but kind of making a name for herself with the social justice and her, you know, social media presence. So she's definitely someone that can market herself, you know, not only as an NBA player, but kind of as an international star with her German background as well.
You know, as far as Oregon football, when it appeared the Pac-12 would follow the Big Ten and announce its return this fall as opposed to 2021, there was a lot of questions about the opt-out guys, maybe Penei Sewell. But instead of anybody talking about if they would return, now we learn Javon Holland joins Graham and Diamador Lenore, NFL-bound. I used the word surprising last question. I mean, any shock value here? Or let's face it, Holland's a first rounder, and this decision was made for a really good reason.
Yeah, I think everyone knows he's a really good player. It seems like he's been here a lot longer than two seasons. He would have been a junior this year because he's had an impact from day one. You know, really a really good player. And you know, I think some of the grades, the early scouting on him is, you know, a first or second round pick. So when you're in that first, second round range, I don't think you owe anyone to come back. From what I understand, I think he's graduating in 3 years or something like that. So, you know, he's in good shape that in that direction as well. So, you know, I think Penei Sewell and Javon Holland, it's a good business decision. They're going to be in the 2020 NFL draft. Now, I think Graham and Diamador, they're also probably going to be drafted, but they're not necessarily locks for that. So probably a tougher decision for them, you know, especially after in January putting it all on hold with Jordan Scott and Austin Fowlou and saying, you know, we want to come back and repeat as champions. So, you know, I haven't heard anything about them coming back. I know it's a process to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed opted out or if they came back in. But certainly the other two you can't blame. And it's just going to be a big test on, you know, the recruiting that Oregon's done. But two areas where, you know, you think they would be able to cope would be on the offensive line because that's Mario Cristobal's specialty and they've recruited very well there. And then the secondary was, you know, arguably the best secondary in the country coming back. So they lose three experienced pieces there, but they have a list of guys ready to go.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. It was McKinley, Mikhail Wright, Stevens, Pickett, Breeze, and a lot of young talent, and you kind of hit on it briefly, but, man, that really kind of addresses the job this staff is doing recruiting, and this the fact that you lose three players like that, and this group could still end up being really good with coaches Hayward and Chance. It's kind of a real testament.
Yeah, I mean, you lose basically three all Pac-12 players, and then, you know, you still have the experience with Pickett and Breeze, who, by the way, was the Rose Bowl defensive MVP and just spectacular down the stretch. You know, I don't think you mentioned Verone McKinley, who's, you know, a ball hawk, you know, just finds the ball. You know, they have a guy named Bennett Williams, an Illinois transfer, who's, you know, a high-level prospect. You know, I think Mikhail Wright and DJ James had some valuable snaps last year. I think they'll, you know, be right in there. And then you have, you know, some five-star freshmen coming in, that sort of thing. So I think the key for Oregon is, you know, making sure the offensive line and Tyler Shuck are on the same page as best you can. There's going to be some bumps along the road, but I think Andy Avalo still has enough pieces to have perhaps the best defense in the Pac-12. We'll see.
A couple final thoughts for Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. Your article from Saturday's paper brought up some key points, and I think it speaks to leadership and the program under Coach Cristobal, because I think too often people are like, it's just football, it's business as usual. How important is it under the current circumstances everybody's dealing with that the coach is not only not going down that path, but actually embracing all the differences and abnormalcies on the table and trying to prep his team for this really odd season?
Well, I think he realizes that it's going to be critical that, you know, that him and his staff can do all the game plans and have every minute of practice worked out and, you know, study the opposition like crazy, but it's going to be up to these players to do whatever they have to do to remain COVID-free. Otherwise, you know, the season could be, you know, down the tube. You've seen, I think Willie Taggart's had like two or three or four games postponed. He's 0-0, still perfect at FAU, but, you know, it's just going to, the Pac-12 doesn't have that margin for error that some of these schools that started 4 weeks ago have, obviously. So that's the whole key. You want to get these seven in and repeat and maybe, you know, bang your fists on the table for the college football playoff at 7-0, then you got to take care of business with the COVID, which, you know, we've seen rises in the positivity rate around the country, and most of those have to do with college towns and colleges having kids back. So that's going to be the key, as strange as that is, for these guys to socially distance and not take part in the usual fun that college students like to have.
Yeah, behave yourself so you and I could have stuff to do on Saturdays. Lastly,
I can tell you one thing, though. It would be really tough for me and you to do what they're going to have to do to get this done.
No, I agree 100%.
If I was in college, that it would not be fun, but that's 2020. You're going to have to sacrifice.
My discipline in college is just that you want to write a book someday, we'll sit down. So the specifics, I mean, we've seen some video, we've seen some posts about, you know, who was where around the Pac-12 as far as players who've left campus who are now returning. What kind of, I guess, timeline did Coach Cristobal lay out as far as getting his guys ready, focused, and, you know, what steps they're taking to prepare for camp, which opens in, what, like 11 days?
Yeah, I mean, from mid-June till August 11th, they were voluntarily working out. They were getting in shape, the typical off-season stuff. And by all accounts, you know, the University of Oregon doesn't specify how many positives were related to the athletic department or not, but you've seen tweets from Bennett Williams when they were begging the governor to come back that state that the football had no positives during that time frame. So they did go home once it was postponed, or at least, you know, about 40% of them went home. So the next 2 weeks is about strength and conditioning, getting back in shape, walkthroughs, meetings, those sort of things. And then Cristobal said the more traditional fall camp will start October 9th. And then obviously we still don't have a schedule, but November 6th is the first weekend of games, so let the countdown begin.
It has begun. Folks, he is Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. On Twitter, it's @by_RyanThorburn. Sports section, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. Ryan, glad things are going well for you all. Hanging in there, trying to remain sane and active. I always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to talking soon.
All right. Sounds good, Steve.
All right.
Coming on anytime.
All right. Have a good one, RT. Take care, man.